Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love what we do, and we are fascinated by how astrology manifests in the daily headlines and in the world around us. And this is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota, on the banks of the Mississippi in the northern end. And it is cold out tonight. Normally, I'm joined by my two compatriots, Mark Woltz and Ann Ortley. And Mark is heading off to minor surgery tomorrow, so let's hold him in good light while he gets his eyes worked on. And we hold Ann in light, as she has been traveling, and hopefully she'll be back. She might even call in tonight. And we have several callers on the line, so we're going to try to get to those callers fairly soon. If you want to be heard and you want to talk to me, remember to raise your hand by pressing 1. So last night was quite the eclipse. It was actually very early this morning. And if you could see it, it was a rare full moon in that you could see the moon to the edge with each other. And this unusual full moon lunar eclipse, if you got up and early, I was walking in the moonlight last night, but I didn't make it to the path itself. I didn't make it to this morning's eclipse. But I hear it was absolutely gorgeous. The moonlight here was so bright you could see your moon shadow perfectly. And that moon was conjunct Uranus at 15 to 17 degrees Aries, and it was opposed the Sun and Venus at 11 and 15 Libra, and they were both square Pluto at 11 Capricorn. Now, this is an unusual pattern, and I've seen this often when you have something like an eclipse. You feel it for weeks ahead of time because it's inevitable part of the process for people. Their chart is going to be triggered, the ones who felt it intensely. And we feel it if it hits your chart and you feel this change. It may last for one moon cycle or all the way up to the next eclipse. So this can be a real turning point for some people. And for others, we just may find that the energy was very moody and building the last couple of weeks, particularly the last couple of days, building up to this rather intense full moon. And then the energy broke open some blockages. So there may be, even though Mercury is retrograde, some new opportunities opening up in the next few weeks. If we can see them, notice them, grab them. So notice where the energy is becoming unblocked and see if you can dive into that process. Now, it's been very interesting with this combination. Sometimes the energy that blocks, sometimes we see things fall like a ripe plum. And this to me was exacerbated by or empowered by, depending upon which way you look at it, how it's affecting you, that Moon-Uranus conjunction this morning also was at the corner of a grand trine with Moon-Uranus at 15 Aries, Jupiter at 17 Leo, fire sign, and Mars at 17 Sagittarius. So pretty tight grand trine. And in that process, one of the energizing pieces, I saw that so many people shifted. I've seen people let go of jobs, people get the job they've been looking for, house sold, but I've also heard of about 10 elders, fathers, mothers, people who've been sick for a long time, elders in the community that died this week in a fairly small circle of people. And I've heard of some young people that just died out of nowhere, you know, woke up and either fell over dead or went to sleep and didn't wake up, young adults. And it feels like a ripening of the process. None of the people that I heard of that died were long drawn out and in pain. It was more like it just like a bright plum falling. They fell into the next layer of their adventure. It's been the intensity of the aspects we don't see in the person who left, but in the people who are left behind. This Pluto is in that, is the fulcrum point in that T-square. So there is a transformative process. I've seen several people who had to reach for a new success in their life, but they had to let go and mourn an old mindset that said they couldn't do it. So think about what you're trying to shed. Now, whenever Pluto is involved as a fulcrum point or a turning point here, we see the effort of, you know, the shocking intensity. Something about life and death brings us to the point where we want to know, it pushes action by in the face of life and death. It pushes action in the face of Pluto. And certainly we are seeing, and Uranus speaks of urgency and intensity, and sometimes overaction. And as an Aries client of mine in the military once said, Aries is ready, fire, aim. You know, it's taking action, but not always aiming as carefully first. We certainly see the process around the Ebola crisis as Pluto-generated, really having the world look at how we are immunologically and bacteriologically connected, and that we have to support the health of all or we are all affected. And we are being pushed into urgency of action in response to this process. If we had acted a lot earlier on in the Ebola crisis, if the Western world had acted earlier on in the Ebola crisis, probably it wouldn't have reached the level that it has. But it happened in a country that was vastly understaffed and underprepared. So in this cycle, this morning as the eclipse happened, the first American person, Ebola victim, died, and the dog of the Spanish nurse was killed. And it brings up, you know, what is an appropriate response? How do we respond fully? Aries brings up the EMT, the emergency medical technician, the urgency of anybody involved. How do we respond with great urgency and intensity, but not overshoot the mark? So it's really going to be an interesting fine point. It's going to take a fair amount of patience on our part to find that fine point and move forward. So today the moon is in Aries, and we're still feeling that urgency and the excitement and maybe a trouble settling down. But we might feel a relief from the sadness and intensity of the last few days. I've noticed a lot of people were just dealing with their old stuff. Now, Mercury went retrograde at the beginning of the weekend into Scorpio. And retrograde in Scorpio has us, you know, our past is so easily triggered. It's so present with us. And we move into the future. It will retrograde back out of Scorpio quite soon. And when it does, we've got Venus coming to, Venus is feeling that square to Pluto, and I think that's where we're feeling the loss and the surprising qualities of that at the moment. But I'm trying to pull up the chart for this week. There we go. Mercury retrogrades back into Libra on the 10th. That's only in 2 days. And we might not feel quite as dark as we do with Mercury retrograde in Scorpio and Venus square Pluto, which is what we're feeling today, bringing up a lot of the past. Remember, Mercury asks us to go back and deal, but deal with it from a place of tenderness and kindness, to go back into our past and not beat ourselves up for what we did wrong at the beginning of the Ebola epidemic or when we were 2 years old or when our child was 2 years old, but to go back and see, that for some reason that happened. Now how do we accept that process and do it differently and move forward with healing? So notice when, if you find yourself going through the sad cycles or going through those moments, those what someone referred to the other day as depression cascade, where one thing goes wrong with Mercury retrograde, it's so easy for things to go wrong. It's so easy for us to slow down and not be at our scintillating best because we're supposed to be moving forward in our heart and in our body, not just our minds. So how do we move forward with this gently, with compassion to ourselves? And notice when our mind gets caught in, if it gets caught in the depression cascade, where we do one wrong thing and that reminds us of the other wrong thing and the next wrong thing and everything that's wrong in our lives. Watch that process. Catch that. Stop that process. Notice it so you can take one step back from it and say, there it is, that is what I am. And begin to use the energy with Mars trine Jupiter and Uranus. There's a lot of energy when we know where we're going, even if it's a short-term goal, and it can help us move forward. And we have, Venus comes to oppose Uranus on Saturday and Sunday. And I think that will also bring up an unusual, and as the moon goes into Gemini, it's in Taurus for the next couple of days, October 8th, 9th, and into the 10th. And that Taurus moon can help us ground, get back in our body, and kind of catch up because with some of the just concrete chores and work that our high-strung emotions might have stopped in the last few days. As the moon goes into Gemini, it is a great weekend. It's a great holiday weekend to go, Indigenous Peoples Day, to travel, to consider different possibilities, new ideas, new situations. Remember, Mercury is retrograde, so you may be also revisiting the past in remembering the histories and the stories and the rich traditions as well as, the difficulties with that. To go places we haven't gone before, but don't do it with a tight time agenda with Mercury retrograde. Do it as a meander. Find where you're going. So early communications next week is with the moon in Gemini. Some nice trines on the 12th say that it's a good, it's a temporary moment of ease of communication as the Gemini moon trines Venus and the sun, which will allow us to kind of take a breath and move forward and create get a lot done in a short period of time. The moon trines Mercury the next day and moves into Cancer on the 13th. Then we slow down and get into a more self-protective and thoughtful time on the 13th and 14th. So think about how you want to use the energy here. This weekend is not the holiday weekend, Mercury's retrograde. It's the following weekend. But we'll be getting ready and getting things in line for it earlier this week. Over this weekend, do travel if you can in small ways. Remember, with Mercury retrograde, you want to take care of your basic Mercury retrograde survival skills. For the next 3 weeks until October 26th or 7th, Mercury goes direct on the 26th, but we'll feel it through the 27th or 28th. Remember to confirm what you hear. Don't react to something you overhear or something that you think you heard someone say or read. Confirm what you hear. Confirm what you read before responding. Keep track of your keys. Give yourself extra time in your schedule. Pat it wherever possible. Take a good book with you. And when life slows you down, look for the opportunity that it presents. Look for the fascinating person in line with you or the lesson that you're learning while you wait. And that often detours take us to just where we need to be. So I'm looking forward to that. I've got a couple people here on the line. I see four people without their hands raised. Remember to press 1 if you want to speak to me. And otherwise, I'm going to go through these people, the callers, pretty quickly if I can. Hello, 626, you're on the line. How can I help you?
Hi, my name is Tammy. Hi, Tammy. Hi, how are you? I was born June 3rd, 1965, in Chicago.
1965, yes. And time?
3:30 in the afternoon.
Thank you. And everybody, this is exactly how we like you to come. Just come with your information right up front, and then we can take a look. And what was your question, Tammy?
I have a question just about where it seems like everything is kind of changing. Where is my chart?
Mm-hmm.
Where should I focus on? I mean, it seems like everything is changing.
Well, honey, I would say it's not focus. It's you're on a balance beam. You kind of roll with it. You know, you ever see those games where people have to jump, catch something, drop, jump over the this? It's just like one obstacle after the other. Without you're in a time of a short period of time with a lot of obstacles. The eclipse last night was at between 14 and 17 degrees, and your ascendant is 17 Libra, and your descendant is 17 Aries. So the people around you look like they're going through all kinds of crazy stuff, and you can't count on them, not because they don't necessarily mean to be counted on. They're not trying to screw you over, but wild things are happening around them. Their own thinking process is really kind of changing and erratic at the moment. So you're helping a lot of people stay grounded while they deal with everything. Now, in general, you have Uranus and Pluto in your 11th house natally. So with that, you often have learned a lot in your life, not going through the crap yourself, but being friends with people who are going through crap. So you learn a lot vicariously.
Right.
And it looks like this has been, and you know, normally they would like to, you can be the focal point for your group, but your needs and your issues look like they've been really upstaged lately. It's coming to be your time again. Your progressed sun just went into Leo. You're getting ready to shine in your field, I think, over the next 7 years. Just right now, just this next couple of weeks, it's pretty erratic. Now, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to be taping a TV show on November.
Congratulations.
Oh, traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. November 11th.
Perfect.
So I wondered about that. And I'm also going to be have to have a surgery, and I was wondering what's a good time to choose that, probably in November, or if November is a good time, so that
if you're taping a TV show, you'll be out of the Mercury retrograde. The Sun and Venus will be safely in your first house. Mercury will be in your first house. They'll love you. You'll shine.
Okay.
And was this an unexpected
opportunity?
Was this like something shifted and suddenly it broke free?
When I called back in April and you guys said that everything was going to start going well, and I did a trade show and started becoming, you know, that's where people started to pay attention to me again. I just taped another TV show about 2 weeks ago, and that went well as well. So I wondered about
that. I think
that.
those are two good examples. Your progressed sun has just gone into Leo less than a month ago, and you're just starting to really cook.
Right, and I'm finished my book,
your moon
too.
In Leo was having a lot of tough aspects there for a while. They've moved on. Pluto is trining your Uranus, so that's actually helpful for getting going through, you know, good changes. Just right now, just this last week and next week, there's a lot of static around your chart, and some of your self-doubts are back up. But
right,
I think that you'll find that you move, you know, that it moves forward pretty quickly.
And there was also a new guy that I met, and it seems pretty fun and pretty awesome. And I mean, like,
wonderful.
It's been a very long time, so it seems like a lot of good things are,
I do think there's a lot happening. And, you know, we said it was going to break free, and it looks like it continues to open up for you. I would say that it's important in your chart to really not worry about where the relationship's going just yet, but just really enjoy each other's company. Build the friendship, build the trust, learn how to communicate with each other, and just really enjoy the romance at the moment.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Because you're, and then later on, it will be easier to shift into, you know, to decide whether or not you want, whether this is a serious relationship, which it feels like it has every possibility of being.
Yeah, it feels like it does, but he's one of the ones that has a lot of crazy going on around him. So.
A lot of crazy. So you just, you know, you need to not get too involved in his crazy. And notice, you know, take a good look at it, because you'll see where you get to watch his crazy come out, not at you, but around you. And you're like, is this too much for me to deal with? Or is it, you know, he's doing his best, he's just learning. And how can you kind of hold his hand but not try to fix the situation for him? He still feels like he's clearing a lot of, like, my image of him is someone with a lot of ropes around him that other people are holding and pulling on.
Exactly.
And he's pushing away from those ropes and breaking free of them, but he's not free yet, and you need to be patient. If he learns to trust that you're standing next to him rather than being one more person pulling on him, which is how he'll tend to get under stress, he will come to really trust you. You know, just let him finish his karma. It's just a matter of clearing up that karma. And it's going to take a little while, but in the meantime, it helps you to build up your trust together.
That's awesome.
Okay, now you asked me
about
a date.
What about the surgery? The surgery.
Surgery.
Yeah, surgery.
So, there's a couple of basic rules for surgery. You don't want it near the full moon. You want it near the new moon. It doesn't have to be on the new moon, but you want to avoid, say, the 7 days before the full moon and the first few days after the full moon, because bleeding can be more of a problem. So that would say not the first 5-6 days of November, but you'd want to do it after that. So when are you taping your show?
I'm taping the show that week of the 11th. I'll be back home on the 14th, so sometime after the 14th.
That looks great. I would say the 15th and 16th are great, but that's Sunday. The dark of the moon in Scorpio is a great time for surgery. That's around the 20th.
The 20th, okay.
The 20th and the 21st are both good days for surgery. So consider that time.
Okay, I sure will. You've been awesome.
Okay,
like
good
reading
luck.
You're reading my life. Okay, thank you.
Well, I'm so glad. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You take care.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Hello, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Hello, my name is Angela. My birthday is April 9th, 1983.
Okay, Angela, hold on. And you said, when is it? When is your birthday?
April 9th,
1983. 1983. Thanks.
Yes,
my fingers just had to catch up. And what time?
5:01 p.m.
01 p.m. And you said where in Haynesville,
Ohio.
Haynesville. Okay. It really is named Painesville.
Yes,
I thought being born in Middletown was bad. I wasn't born in Middletown. I raised in Middletown. So, yes, an Aries moon in Pisces with wonderful contradictions there and a Virgo rising.
Yeah.
And what was your question today?
My intuition feels very confused.
Mm-hmm. Mercury's
lately.
Retrograde. Is it as in the last week or as in the last month?
Month, just in general, I've just been feeling very ungrounded and not being able to really, like, I know I need to listen to my heart, and I haven't really been figuring out or able to figure out what's my heart and what's my head.
It's going to be a while. And so you're going to work, I would say this is normally with that super sensitive Pisces moon of yours, you have a very good inner Geiger counter that knows what's happening and what's what and where. And you have your moon in Pisces is trined by Saturn, so you've got a good, stable head on your shoulders, even for someone who feels so much. And you've got that Aries gumption, Mercury conjunct Mars in solid, grounded Taurus. You know, you've got a good, rigorous mind and, as well as a lot of deep feelings. Venus in its own sign in Taurus, lovely. But Neptune right now is at 5 degrees of Pisces. And it's coming up to conjunct your moon over the next year or two. It is right now, it is sextile your Mercury. Sextile is lovely, but it leaves you all foggy. So there's learning to really walk in the fog. And I would say when you're in these kind of Neptune transits, it is the lessons are those, and you've got Uranus coming up to your sun. You've got some intense aspects, so it's like suddenly you feel the engine's revving, but you can't see more than a foot in front of your face.
Totally, and I'm dealing with a lot of like self-confidence stuff and personal power stuff.
Yeah. What I would say is don't look too far ahead. Notice when you're walking in the fog, don't look too far behind, like starting to let go of the past and let go of the future and make this moment work. That's the rule with any Neptune transit. But in particular, you've got that lovely lineup in Taurus. When you really slow down and feel your feet on the ground, you start to move and move at a slow and steady pace. You usually know what you're doing. It's when the Aries in you wants to hurry up and know more and go faster and know what you're doing next week, and you don't.
Yeah, totally.
So if you, but you know what you're doing when you're driving. You know what you're doing when you put your foot next. Really feel like you're walking in the fog. If you pay attention, and my image with that is a day that I walked on the fog. We only have 90 seconds. So I walked on the fog along the top of a cliff. If I looked where I was going or where I was coming from, I would fall off the cliff. But if I just looked where my feet were, it was very easy to stay on my path and not fall off and not get lost. And when the fog cleared, I saw where I was going. So I want you to really take that in.
Cool. And when does the fog clear?
In 18 months.
Oh, man, that's a long time.
It will get a little bit better even by Christmas time. It starts to move off your Mercury, but it won't get off your moon for a nice long time. So I'm going to have to go now. I'm just going to, and I wouldn't worry about that. I think it'll get a lot easier pretty soon. But staying grounded, slowing down, even by Christmas time, you'll find that it's off your Mercury and you'll be able to see a little bit farther ahead. You're not going crazy. You're just in the fog.
Thank you.
Okay?
All right, good luck.
Thanks. And to everybody out there, take it easy during this next few weeks. Be very kind to yourself and to one another. Be kind and move slowly and with intentions. Put one foot in front of the other. Share your knowledge with one another. But keep the expectations low because you're probably not going to do what you thought you were going to do, but what you do may be just where you need to be. But you may not see it just yet. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Bye.